thank you, Peter. So Malakas is the sort of the runt of the ITOP litter, I guess, based on the number of talks about Malakas. And so I'm here to talk about what we did in Malakas and what is interesting about Malakas, both from an atmospheric and an ocean viewpoint. So Malakas formed a bit unexpectedly. We were off in the middle of doing wake survey flights of Panapi when the disturbance that was moving towards Guam sort of rapidly developed, and we were able to pull a plane back and fly into Malakas. And so this is the track of Malakas, sort of on a satellite image. There were four recon flights into Malakas that I'll talk about. I'll probably only talk about the first three, first one in detail. The last one up here, as it was going into the latitudes, I won't say much about. There were two other flights in Malakas. One was to deploy the drifting buoys, and the other was a survey flight over the cold wake. And I won't say anything about those either, but we're just going to look at the set of flights as it went. As Malakas formed, some of the data relative to the formation of Malakas and some of the data relative to the intensification of Malakas as it sort of surprised a bunch of us. So this was the first set of flight, the first flight in Malakas. And like I said, we had a plan to do one more wake survey flight over Panapi. And at the time, the plane was plane left Guam and was out here and had just done one rectangle over the wake of Panapi when the disturbance north of Guam was looking very interesting and the wake data weren't, I guess. And so we decided to pull the plane back. And thanks to rapid response from a lot of people on Guam and Monterey and the Air Force especially, they were willing to work with us and change plans midair, file a new flight plan, and come back and do an alpha pattern over this new disturbance that was going to become Malakas. And even though at this time, JTWC had already started it as a tropical depression at 30 knots, the Air Force agreed to continue flying at 30,000 feet. So our first flight over the system was at 30,000 feet, which proved to be very valuable because it identified a nice rich structure in the vertical of the formation of the storm. And you can see that from this visible image that the storm is highly sheared. There was strong shear from the north because a large anticyclone had built in over behind Panapi. So that was causing northerly shear on this disturbance here. So all the convection was sort of pushed down to the southeast. And you can see that again on this 85 gigahertz trim image. So you can see that a low-level center was exposed and the convection was off to the south and southeast. And it was about 10 to 15 knots of vertical wind shear, which is fairly substantial for a developing storm to try to overcome. So we were curious at how this was going to develop. This is the NRL, East Agency's NOWCAST forecast system by Dr. Koh that I took off the ITOP.org site. And I'm showing this to, and this is the track of Malakas. And this is the time that we were flying the first flight. And what I want you to see here is how there's quite a varied structure in the ocean heat content as Malakas is forming. Here is south, just north of Guam, and then going to move meridionally or poleward into the latitudes. And as it's forming, it's actually sort of over a tongue of lower heat content water. There's sort of a tongue of warmer heat content water. And then it sort of gets up into the northern part of the eddy zone, into the more subtropical zone, and very much cooler water, much less heat content in that water. So we'll look at a couple of the evolution as it goes through this environment. So sort of the idea here is to look at the varying ocean environment and the varying atmospheric environment as the storm forms and moves forward as it develops. So one of the first things, and one of the things we need to discuss this week is a type of what any surface wind analysis that would be done as a routine for ITOP. And this is an analysis that was a technique that was developed by Michael Bell, formerly at NCAR, now at NPS. And I won't read the whole thing, but the nickname is SAMURAI, the acronym is SAMURAI. And Michael developed this primarily for analyzing Eldora radar data, very high-resolution radar data. And with Michael's help, we've been able to apply it and modify it a little bit to just having drops on data, since we didn't have radar data in ITOP. And he's been using this, and we've been using this quite extensively from the TCS-08 Eldora radar data sets. So now we're just applying it to drops on data. obtained from the C-130 and giving it a background field from the operational ECMWF analysis. And these analyses are at 8th degree of resolution. So in this case here, this is a 1 kilometer analysis field of winds, and shading is wind speed. And the drop locations in a storm relative sense are by the wind barbs. And so this is an analysis at about the center time of that alpha pattern, 3Z on the 22nd of September. And so you can see sort of the structure of the storm at low levels. It was had a nice low level center. Remember that the convection was more down here to the south, and the low level center was quite exposed. And this is the drop zone profile on a skew T diagram from the farthest southern drop. And that was right in that convective area. And you can see the temperature moisture profile associated with the convection there. But what I want you to concentrate more is on the distribution of the winds in the vertical. You can see these winds here are plotted in meters per second, and the winds on the skew T are in knots. But this 50 knot wind down here at the lower levels, but you can see the decisive turning in the winds in the vertical as this storm was highly tilted in the vertical caused by that strong wind shear from the north. And so you can see that, yes, at the lower levels, the center is up here where we were flying. But as you go up in the vertical, the center is almost due east of this southern section of drops, which is sort of due east or just downstream from the convection that was occurring to the south of the center there. And so as we go up in the vertical, this line here is a cross section that I'm going to show next at about 17 and a half north, and it sort of cuts right across the area of deep convection that was south of the center, and that we saw on the 85 gigahertz trim image. And it's also derived from the Samurai analysis system in the vertical. And now we really benefit from having the aircraft at 30,000 feet. You know, I'm only taking this to 8 kilometers here because we just weren't quite sure how the Samurai would work as we go up in the vertical. And we didn't put in the flight level data yet at the Samurai system. But what is interesting to notice is here's the center of the horizontal grid. Back here, the label's kind of off, but this is 142 and a half east, and that is this area right here on the center. And this is a contour plot of moist static energy, which is one of the derived fields in the Samurai analysis system. And so you can see in that convective area, we had very warm, moist atmosphere, especially at lower levels, and it sort of tilts up. There's a drier mid-level, and off to the north here, or I'm sorry, to the east, where the ocean heat content was quite low from the analysis from the East Asian model system. You can see this cool area. So there's this sort of this layer of warm, moist air at low levels that's sort of leaning down shear, leaning eastward on this cold air that's sitting over this lower ocean heat content value. And it's sort of extending up into the mid troposphere where the center is tilted. So the center is at this level, at 5 and 8 kilometers, is sort of sitting in here, and this area where the moisture is sort of leading downstream. So that's just a nice depiction of what was going on in Malacca at the time. And I'm just stepping out. This is 3 kilometers here, so you can see now the system is already starting to tilt down towards the southeast. This is vertical motion at 3 kilometers. You can see the up motion and all that convection down here. And then as we go to 5 kilometers, the center is tilted farther down to the southeast. And then at 8 kilometers, it's a little bit of a weakness in the vertical profile of winds, and the center is down here, so just as we were seeing in that drop zone. So having the drops at 30,000 feet identified this structure in the vertical and the relationship to the center as it was varying in the vertical to the convection that was sort of occurring down here to the south and southeast of the low-level center. And so the second flight came along 24 hours, just about 18 to 24 hours later, and Malacca was now beginning to develop. It was now a very weak typhoon, 65 knots, according to JTWC. And I should say they're about 5 to 10 knots lower than what we were finding on the aircraft from the SFMR data. Because you saw that 1 kilometer, there was already a 50 knot wind in the first flight. And at the surface on the drops, there was 35 to 40 knot wind. So probably a weak tropical storm even at the first flight. And you can see the distribution of songs. Well, this is a flight where we did several drop AXBT pairs as we were flying around in here. The storm is still quite asymmetric because there's still weaken each year, but still at 7 knots from the north due to the anticyclone that's behind Phanapi. But the convection is starting to increase, and on 91 gigahertz image now, you can see that the convection is sort of pushed off to the east of the center here, and the flight track is coming out of Guam and flying around in a butterfly pattern with an added leg that we did sort of on the sides here through this convection. And when we look at where that is in relation to the ocean heat content analysis, you can see here's the flight track, and that last leg on the way back to Guam sort of came right through where there was sort of a local minimum in the ocean heat content field. The storm center now is sort of over this tongue of elevated heat content as it's beginning to intensify a little bit. And remember, it's going to continue to the north and end up sort of over this very cooler area as it really starts to intensify. So we have a nice data set here that we really haven't looked at yet. It's in the drops are in the Samurai analysis. We haven't looked at the individual drops, but as they transect right over this relative minimum in the ocean heat content field that's analyzed by the NRL system. So this is the surface wind analysis from this flight, and I'm just going to, this is about half a kilometer. You can see the intensification of the winds, and the storm has become more symmetric. It's not tilted in the vertical, but there is sort of a lobe center that's tucked into the area of convection that's off to the east. So you can see there's sort of a major center here, but the actual center at a half a kilometer is sort of tucked right in here, and it was nicely identified by the drops. Again, these are in the storm system coordinates, storm relative coordinate system, adjusted for the time of the flight and so on and so forth. But you can see, and then at 1 kilometer, you still see that sort of the actual center is sort of tucked up along the edge of that convection that was to the eastern side. And so the storm is beginning to intensify. It's becoming more symmetric. I'm not going to show any analyzed fields in the vertical, but it was much more upright at this point, even though as the shear had reduced down to 7 knots and the convection had become deeper and more concentrated, still pushed off down shear, but concentrated closer to the center. And the third flight came along now, and about 18 hours after that one, and the storm is beginning to intensify. It's now a 90-knot typhoon based on the JQWC best track, even though on this flight where winds well over 100 knots, 105 knots was the maximum wind on the north, on the eastern side. The storm is becoming a bit more symmetric. The eye is forming actually during this flight, so this makes it a very interesting data set also. It's becoming more symmetric. The shear has continued to increase even further down to 5 knots from the north. And now the ocean heat content is very low, and the storm has now traversed past this little eddy that's kind of come down from the subtropics in the lower mid-latitudes. And the storm is actually sitting right over there in that area of deep convection that's occurring in this band system down here is actually sort of traversing right over that area of ocean heat content of values of about 40 or 45 or so. So even though the storm is intensifying up to 90 knots, it's in a cooler ocean environment, but the atmospheric environment is a little bit more favorable. And so in this diagram, I'm sort of summarizing the whole thing. So we have black dots are the JTWC best track intensity for the entire period of Malacca's. Blue dots are vertical wind shear derived from the ECMWF 8-degree analysis, and that scale is over on the right. And the red dots are the ocean heat content from the NRL analysis, and it's averaged over a 2-degree radius cylinder that sort of follows along the storm. And so you can see as the storm is developing, it's in an area of moderate increasing shear. It gets up to 10 knots, a little bit above that as it's increasing, but the ocean is in the lower southern, it's south of the eddy zone, so the ocean heat contents are quite high. They go down at the same time that the shear goes down, and that allows Malacca's to continue to intensify the tropical storm strength. Then the shear goes up as ocean heat content begins to recover as it goes over that tongue of warmer water, and Malacca's starts to intensify a little bit. Shear goes way down, ocean heat content goes up over when it's over that little tongue, and the storm intensifies to the minimum typhoon. These shaded areas are flight 1, flight 2, flight 3, flight 4. And so this is as we were flying it as the eye, as it became a typhoon. Then the ocean heat content goes down dramatically as it moves into the subtropics. And vertical wind shear is still low, and so the storm intensifies to a typhoon. Vertical wind shear then increases dramatically as it moves and begins to interact with the mid-latitudes. Maintains typhoon strength because that interaction allowed a nice upflow channel into the mid-latitude, so that continued to ventilate the warm core, and the storm continued to intensify until it eventually weakened as it moved into the mid-latitude as an extratropical storm. So that's sort of the rich sort of interplay between the ocean fields and the atmospheric fields. And just to summarize then, you know, what's going to continue here, what I've done is put things in bold that are questions that need to be addressed here. We need to incorporate the analysis of the AXPT data into this. We're just using the drops and so on. But there's a quality control issue that still has to be addressed with the AXPT data that will be discussed. And so that's why no AXPT data have really been released much. And so that has to be done before those data can be applied, especially for the pre-MEGI flights. Compare those to the model analyses and relative to storm structure. Look at the relative roles of the atmosphere and the ocean during a system like this. And that requires some sort of determination as to whether we'll, as a group, kind of come along on a standardized analysis system, especially for lower level winds, dry ocean models. And then look at both the relative characteristics of both the atmosphere and the ocean, because both have very quite rich and variety of structures in this case, in terms of vertical wind shear from the adjacent systems as it's developing, the mid-latitude trough as it's moving forward, and the variety of the ocean structure as it moves through the eddy zone and into the mid-latitude.
Thanks, Matt. You're up, Matt.